Let's pray together. There's none like you among the gods, O Lord, and all the nations you have made shall come and worship before you and glorify your name. You invited your king to ask of you, and you'd make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. And we thank you that in the course of time, you brought the gospel to our nation, to our valley, and to people who are faithful to tell us the good news and to model a holy life that brought us into your arms. We thank you that you've made the whole process of salvation a gift by the cross, through your blood, through your suffering. You didn't give us out of your riches, you gave us according to the riches that are in Christ. When we were in darkness and ignorant and without God or hope, you shined the light into our hearts. And so today it's a privilege to worship you, led by another generation who knows your name. And we thank you today that we can come and hear about the gospel for the nations. And we pray as we gather that you would touch many of us to go, serve you, to places we never thought we would go. We thank you for Todd and Carla Poulter, who've served you so faithfully in Wycliffe, and are now mentoring couples and younger missionaries as examples of legacy missionaries, to integrate them into your love, to find calling according to gift, and to equip them. And we thank you for Michael George, this wonderful servant of yours who found you in Saudi Arabia in the underground church and gave his life to you through prayer and fasting. And you sent him to the unreached peoples and mission groups in India. Use him mightily among us today to show your light and how the God of angel armies, the Lord of hosts, goes ahead of us to reach those who've never heard. So we thank you for this wonderful, beautiful day where we can worship in freedom. We don't take that lightly. And we thank you for all your gifts of grace, immeasurable. Make us faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, please have a seat. All right, well, our scripture reading this morning is Hebrews chapter 12. And Michael George, visiting with us, missionary full-time in India. He's one of the most remarkable men I've ever met. Being with Michael, you just get infected with joy and love for Christ. And I can't wait for you all to hear his story. He'll also be in the back as well, and we've made a brochure for him. So it's kind of Mission Sunday to be stirred and to see God's kingdom worldwide. So Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. The word of God. Amen.
Good morning. I'm really excited to be here this Sunday morning with you, sharing the subject of soldier's life. I read it, a great soldier and commander from France, Napoleon, Once he was exiled to an island called Elba. He said, "Able was I ere I saw Elba." But our great soldier and commander, Jesus, who was crucified on the cross, but on the third day, as the first fruit, he rose up and he said to the world, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." He is our great commander and we are his soldiers. I'm born in India, in southern part, Kerala, in 1958, graduated engineering in 1980, worked at Bombay Airport for 2 years. That time, I was led by the colors of this world, young, yearning to make money. One of my friends told me, "If you want to make money, go to Saudi Arabia." There they are riding, once they were on the camel, now they are riding Cadillac. I got interested. I went there in the desert, working hard, earning money. Arabic word for money is fulus. And fulus coming to me. But after an year, I'm feeling inside some voidness, something empty. I brought as a Catholic, my mom from India asking me, "Do you have a priest over there? Do you take Holy Communion?" I said, "No, nothing over there." In one of the charismatic retreat, I have received a salvation message, and that experience was inside me. And that thing really bubbled from inside out of, inside, from inside me. And I was asking myself, what is really the purpose of my life? Where will I spend my eternity? I was confused. But in an underground small group there, one of my friends called me over there. I heard the gospel again, the powerful gospel. That gospel of Jesus touched me in 1985. I found Jesus in a city called Dammam. That experience really changed my life. My lookout for the future completely changed. The house group there was really strong. Usually all of us, we pray for three hours, then have everyday evening fellowship, work hard. The motto was work, prayer. Work, prayer. That 2 years really put a strong foundation in me. On a daily basis, I could hear Lord speaking to me. I made many decisions in my life. I told to my Lord, "Lord, I will share about this love to people wherever I go." I was a desire for my people in India, and I was asking, "Lord, can you send me? Can you send me?" One day I was driving my car in Dammam. As a voice I heard, "Are you ready to serve me?" holding on to the steering, I cried and said, "Yes, Lord, I will do that." I quit my job and business over there and went back to Kerala. There, I thought that it was easy for them to receive this message. I'm coming as a transformed man. But the traditional folks over there, they were not ready to hear me. They just point blankly told me, "Get out." They told me while this guy was doing his engineering, his screw was half loose, now it is full loose. I was in the street sharing the gospel. My mom was vehemently opposing me. Whenever she see me, she cries. But I told her, "This is the truth. And I do have real experiences." We go on for fasting like 21, sometimes 40. I got a strong group which prays strongly. And that is the reason I am here today. Well, I got married in 1988, amidst a lot of opposition, that also directed by the Lord. Then I got, we had the firstborn, Joshua, born in 1989, and Elizabeth, born in the next mission station in Andhra Pradesh in 1992. Lord directed through vision into that place in the middle eastern part of India, Andhra Pradesh. I was kind of advising God that, "Can you send me to Mumbai, Bombay?" Because I was there, I know Hindi also. Therefore, maybe I could manage myself, or I could be with some little bit allied people. And my wife, she was 6 months pregnant with her second baby. She told me that, "I can come with you anywhere, but it should be clean, without flies and mosquitoes." It's natural, you know. But Lord showed me a small village that is a small hamlet in the eastern middle part of India, full of flies, mosquitoes, and even snakes visit us on a daily basis. She cried. I told, "We don't have any other choice. This is the order from the above. We need to obey it." She agreed. This is our first church in that place. When we went there, 80% of the children were rearing cattle. Now, 100% of the children go to school. And that village have become a Christian village, more than 500 baptisms. They were all huts there, but now things have changed. Gospel has power. It could change people. It could change families. It could change societies. For the next 20 years, we were in church planting in different places. About 100 churches emerged. We have seen hundreds and hundreds of people coming to the love of Jesus. Well, praying over there, things start changing in my hometown also. My mom, my brothers, many of my relatives, they came to the born again experiences. After 17 years, I could baptize my mom in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And she is now 79 years old. She wants to hear my voice. on a day, every day. But sometimes I could not speak to her like that way. Well, I told about, this is, by 2009, we had about 75 pastors. Many of the pastors ministered to two churches, and there is a leadership team on basis. When I look into all the past experiences, wherever we shown the love of Jesus, wherever we endured hardship, there came more fruit. Jesus lived in the lives of people. Many hardships, but when I think about it, all as joyous occasions. I know that on a second village, I told you about snakes. I will tell you a snake story, couple of snake stories. I didn't like this creature, you know. I was fearful about. I asked Lord, either you stop this creature visiting me or take me out of this place. But neither of the thing was happening. Sometimes it happens like that. Then I keep on asking Lord. Then Lord put something in my heart. Lord told me, don't fear this creature. Then I got a victory over snake. Lord told me again, there are more poisonous people are living around. You live with. But I will give you victory. From that time onwards, that fear went away from me. Another one is, one of my friends told me, Michael, I want to visit your mission station. Then I told, brother, I'm in a hard place. It is a difficult place. You to come and stay with me. No problem, you know. I visited many places. I am going to come and to stay with you. He came. We were living in a very small house with a cow dung, furnished base. He said, oh, nice. I could sense the presence of God here. Then in the night time, we had a very small room for the guests. I put him over there into the small room and told, brother, if you hear some noise in the night, don't fear. Then he asked me, what sound? Maybe some rats may come in the, you know, that we had a wooden ceiling. Oh, I have seen many rats in my life. Then I told finally, sometimes snakes may come to catch the rat. And I went to my room and I had a good sleep. But morning, this brother was walking and praying in spirit. And he told me, Brother Michael, I had a whole night prayer. He could not sleep. And he told, this is really anointing. Well, many stories, but end of the day, enduring hardship is a great experience in my life. It's Lord's love and grace. I never thought in my life that I will stand for the Lord. I could be a witness, but He gave me His grace to do that. Let us also do. Let us also step out for Jesus. We have only one life. Let us do it for the glory of Jesus. Let us bring people to the love of Jesus. Well, in 2009, I was living comfortably in a city called Visakhapatnam. That is a coastal city. Then Lord told me, hey, Michael, you step out of this city again. Then I told Lord, why? He told me, you need to. He asked me to go to another village that is more tribal, hilly people. And Satyavaram, it's a village that is with only 35 families, all hut. No electricity, no telephone services, no roads over there. And this one brother, Swami, he called me, please come over here and set up a church for us. Because we treated him of a disease of hydrosil. First time when I was visiting that village, this Swami came to me for prayers and he literally asked me, pray for that, I will die today. Because he was that much sick and he doesn't have any facility or nobody to help him for that. We got him operated and he was very happy and he gave about 90 cents of land to build a church and he asked me, you must come over here. And Lord asked me, go. And I am there, yes sir. This is it, all our life. We need to say to Jesus, yes Lord. Can you say with me, yes Lord? Raising your right hand, can you say, yes, Lord? Yes, Lord. Lord may send you. Well, Swami and his wife, Chalaima, is the first convert over there. Next 3 years, I thought with all my experience, I could do fast. No way. Lord told me again, go for prayer. Vigorous prayer. Fasting and prayer. Next 3 years, lot of experiences. This place was tough. Many goddesses there. They worship anything in the creature. Trees, stones, mountains, many gods. I had a recent very funny experience. A neighbor of me, when I was traveling over here to United States, I told him, can you help me when I was away to water some of the mango trees which I have planted? He told me, well, if you pay me something, I will do that. Okay, I told him, I will pay you, brother. Then finally he told me, I will water your mango trees, but I will not believe in your one God. Then I told him, what is that? He told me, at least there should be four gods. It was like a funny, I heard about three gods, million gods. Then I asked, do you have more gods? No, only four God. Well, when I go back, it's a challenge for me to tell about the single God. Well, these are, some of the stones and some of the small statues they put here and there and they worship like that. The next one, this is the Swami who is the first convert and he has got 8 children. 5 of them got married. The last 3, he doesn't have any grandchildren. But we prayed over that family. He has got now 3 of their children got kids now. Praise the Lord. The next one, this is the opening of the building we constructed over there for worship and for living. This is the place. It's about 1,800 square feet, and we have a hexagonal worship center and a place to worship Then on Sundays, now we have around 35 adults and few children gathering over there. And they bring their rice, fruits, vegetable. And last week, before I coming over there, one lady came to me, "Pastor, we will feed you henceforth. Your rice, your curries, we will make for you." And there is the these are the children, and mainly women come for the worship over there. And they sing and they worship the Lord with more sound and with their body effects. And show me, there is the transportation to that. This is the way how the people are coming for the Sunday worship. Wild. They are nice. Coming to the scripture for the today, I want to share about a few minutes. I'm sorry, I'm running out of time. A few minutes about soldier's life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Told you, we are called as soldiers. Christ, he is our commander. Let us be focused. Focused unto him who is the author, who is the finisher. Paul, when he writes this, from the time he finds Jesus on his way to Damascus till he finishes his race in Roman jail, he endured hardship at many places. And he stood as a soldier in the army of Christ. And he once stated in Romans, seeing, experiencing all the troubles in his life, all the persecution, all the hardships in his life, he is saying, "Nothing in the world could separate me from the love of Jesus." Let us make a promise today. Nothing in the world could separate me from the love of Jesus. He is our commander. We are here to obey him. We are here to say, "Yes, Lord." Can you say with me? "Yes, Lord." Going to the second scripture, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 27. Moses takes a decision when he was 40 years old. He chose to suffer with his brethren. Reason number one, in faith, he took a decision. As he grew older, his faith also grew up. One point, he jumped out of the palace. Do you know the reason? There was sin in the palace. There was death in the palace. There was everything of the world. Money was there. Power was there. Wisdom was there. But he chose to suffer with his brethren. Why? He cannot tolerate the idolatry. He cannot tolerate the sin comes with the pleasures of the world. The world and its pleasures will pass by. But we will live with the Lord. We will endure hardship for the God. He took a decision. That decision anointed him. 40 years in the wilderness. God tamed him. And when he was 80 years old, in the burning bush, God commanded him, I am that I am. Go in my name and speak to Pharaoh. He was fully anointed. And God used him to lead, to command the millions for 40 years. God will use you. God will anoint you to bring hundreds to the kingdom. Are you ready to obey him? Are you ready to say, yes, Lord? He said it. He made it. He became the mediator of the old covenant. Dying in 120, he was strong. Experiencing God rather than the pleasures of the sin. The wages of sin is death. Victory over sin is life with Jesus. Life, abundance of life. Jesus said, you must have life, abundance of life. Let us have that experience of abundance in our life. That should come from inside out, not outside in. Inside, let us experience his joy. Let us experience his love. Let us experience his peace. Moses took a strong commitment, decision in his life. That choice, oh, that was magnificent. Let us also, I challenge you today, this Sunday morning, one life, let it, we spend it for the glory of God. Let us touch people around. There are hundreds of people who are longing, need help, need gospel. Let us step out and speak to them. Show them the love of Jesus. Love of Jesus is shown by sacrifice only. We can tell to somebody, I love you, honey, I love you, I love you. But sacrifice, giving, hardship, that is why we show the world that Jesus is living. Praise the name of the Lord. Giving. Husbands to give to wife. Wives to give to husbands. Paul says in Ephesians, wives to submit, husbands to love. Love how much? Like Jesus loved the church. Jesus gave his life for the church, life for the world. Why all these separations? Why all the problems in the family? No Jesus in the family. Let us bring him into our lives. Let us bring the love of Jesus in our families. Name of the Lord. Coming to the next one. Midlife crisis. David, God spoke to him. This is springtime. You go for war. No. I will send Joab to war. And Joab was happy. In the name of David, he could wage war. He rested in the palace. Sin coming into his life. Sin coming into his family. Curse coming upon the generation. Resting at the comfort zone. You and me, if we rest in the comfort zone, This death snare has grabbed us. The joy may depart from us. David reckoned it. He said, "Oh God, I sinned. Let us break open the barriers." The gospel is same everywhere on the globe. People preach the same Jesus, where it is black, brown, yellow, or white, or red. Jesus is same. Let us say to the world that Jesus is living. Springtime, time for war. Praise the Lord. Say to a person nearby and shake hand and say, "Springtime, time for war." Okay. Coming to the next phase. Staying true to the end. Paul, when he writes to Timothy, his last letter, he's saying this powerful testimony. "I have kept my faith. I have fought a good fight. And I am going to finish. Dying as a martyr for Jesus." He is telling to the world that we need to finish well. We need to start in faith, start in spirit, walk in spirit, finish in spirit. Finishing is very important, because the cross was in their heart. How Jesus finished, how he carried the cross outside the gates of Jerusalem, that was inside their hearts. All the apostles had that, witnessed that picture engraved in their heart by Holy Spirit. And they all finished their race magnificently. Let us also finish our race in spirit. And let us tell to the world, to the nations, that Jesus is living. Let us proclaim this good news to the whole nations. Can we stand in the presence of the Lord one moment? Can you all please stand up in the presence of the Lord? Let us pray together one moment. Let us make a strong commitment, decision for Jesus this day. To step out of the comfort zone. To endure hardship. To show the nations Jesus is living, and to finish our race magnificently. Let us show the love of God, love of our Lord, to the people around, in the neighborhood, in different nations where you are called. Make a promise. As the poet says, "The woods are lovely, dark and deep. Promises to keep, and miles to miles, miles and miles to go before we sleep." We have miles to go. We have many people to win for the kingdom. This day, let us make a decision. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this congregation. Let the anointing fall upon everyone so that we will live a life victorious in Jesus. We will say yes to the Lord. We will not be slave to sin, but victory in the name of Jesus. And we will move forward in spirit and in faith, and we will finish our life in Jesus victoriously, powerfully, uniquely, and magnificently. Blessings be upon dear one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God be with you. Okay. My family, pray for my family and people. My wife, named Sujamol, have got my elder boy Joshua is 24 years old, and the girl Elizabeth is 22 years old. They're sending their love and regards to you all. We love you all. Thank you. May the love of God, grace of Jesus Christ, and the sweet fellowship of Holy Spirit be upon each one of us and upon all the saints all around the world till the coming of our Lord Jesus. Amen.